Really wonderful to be with you, and thank you, Pastor Wes and Janet, for making us so welcome, and all the team making it all possible. There's so many people make these things happen, and I just really value that we're able to partner together, and you set up the stage and the people, and they keep coming back, and I get a chance to, or pressure to have to put together things I've learnt, and then share them, and then they go out from here all over. So thank you very much. We really love it. And we've got to enjoy being with you. Have a lot of fun. I look forward to this weekend every time. Not the pressure before it, but the weekend with you. So wonderful. And just I want to welcome you. If you're watching online, we want to really welcome you too. And while I was in the worship time just earlier on, I just had a clip come back to memory that I saw about a father and his son. And I don't know whether they can show it, but if they can show it, I think you'll quite enjoy this clip. And it took place in 1992 at the Summer Olympics in Barcelona. And in the Summer Olympics, there was a sprinter called Derek Redmond. And he was an exceptionally fast sprinter. But he started to have injuries just prior to the Olympics. He'd spent years building up to this Olympic race, and when he got on the track and the race started, this is his moment, his highlight in his life, and he gets a hamstring partway through the race. So I'm just hoping you can show it. Even if there's no sound, you'll still see the message come up. It's a message done by T.D. Jakes.
It would change Derek Redmond's life forever. He was born real good until he pulled his Achilles heel.
And Redmond is broken down. He's on the track, nearly down.
The race was over. Everybody else had gone through the finish line.
He went down. They were coming with the stretchers. But he got up and he started hopping.
He just wants to finish.
He had no chance to win, and he was still hopping because his daddy was watching.
His dad started
running
down the track, just coming.
And his daddy came out there, said, "Leave him alone." And his daddy was pulling him along. This is not about them. This is about you. Don't stop it. It's not about winning. I taught my boy to finish, and I don't care if it takes all night. We gonna make it across the finish line.
Quite something, isn't it? Just the power of a father in a son's life. And it's a very, very moving story, very, very powerful story. I was in San Diego, and we watched I was part of a men's conference. I was a speaker there. There would have been 2,000 fathers and their sons. And those sons who didn't have fathers that were in the church, they got an older young adult to come, or one of the single guys to come and be a father for him. And of course, it's a military base there, so it's highly, highly competitive. So when we weren't having meetings, everyone's competing, doing this and this, and there's liftings, and it's kind of full of testosterone. But one of the events that was interesting was they had an obstacle race for the sons. And the dads were not allowed to help them, but they could support them with encouragement. And so they began the race, quite a challenging race, like the military would have to go through. And one of the interesting observations was this, that the sons who had their natural father there supporting them all completed the race. And the young men who did not have a father had someone standing in to help them. Many of them just dropped out on the way. And this is mirrored in the education system in America and in New Zealand, where boy, young men and young women who don't have a father active in their life, or there's no father in the home, generally drop out of school at a very high percentage, far above what normally happens. They're unable to finish what they started. And there's a power of a father being with us to help us complete our race in life. And so over the weekend, I've been sharing a little bit about overcoming the wound of fatherlessness. And so I wanted to show you that clip. I remember watching it while I was preparing and thinking, I meant to weep. It very, go look at it on YouTube and just in the quiet time when you're not anyone around you. And there's something about that clip that deeply touches us. And I have observed, it's just my observation, looking at movies and watching stories on television, that the stories which echo the nature of humanity and God always resonate with our heart. So in that story there, the thing that resonates is that a father's meant to stand with his son. Help them see their way through the course. So when you see it, there's something about it. We all want that because that's what we're wired for. We're wired for relationship with God as Father. That is God's design. The story of the Bible starts with God, a father, wanting to create a family that would advance his business in the earth. The story ends the same way, where Jesus returns, his kingdom is established, his government is established in the earth, and when all of that has happened at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, he will hand over the kingdom to the Father. So the story starts with a father and sons, and it ends up with a father and sons. And in between, we see what God is like as a father. And perhaps the greatest gift of our Father is his sending Jesus Christ, the perfect representative of him, to redeem or to bring us back where we could enjoy a relationship with God as Father. And whenever you see stories like that, where someone has been rejected, overcome, cast down, or is abused, and someone rescues and saves them, it resonates in our heart. Or when they find the strength because someone encouraged them to stand up and they overcome and they win, something in us resonates with that. But when Hollywood perverts it all, it becomes a joke. No one wants it. Because it doesn't resonate with our heart, the story of salvation. It's written into us. God has written eternity in our hearts. So every time you see something that touches you, ask the question, what about that touched my heart? And you'll find it's found somewhere in the story of God and man. And so you'll find then we love stories about our heroes and villains, and the villain seems to win and then the hero wins, and that is the story of humanity. It's like it's there all the way through. So I want to share with you this morning and talk a little bit about how to receive fathering from God, how to be fathered by God. And we shared in the first session, when we began on Friday night, some of the statistics of the breakdown in Western culture, the breakdown in fatherless families. We found that almost one out of every three families is fatherless in New Zealand and America. And then, of course, then we have other things happening in society, and people don't connect that the absence of fathers is directly linked to these issues we see in society. And so when you try to fix up and repair and do this and that and don't address the real issue, building strong marriages, strong families, and inspiring men to be great leaders who love their family and sacrifice for their wife and children, we're never going to solve the problem. And so, however many people don't have a good dad, or their dad is absent, or their dad has died, but one of the reasons Jesus came was to connect us to God as a son, as a daughter, and to be fathered by God. So even if your life story is not necessarily very happy, if there are sad memories, we shared over the seminar how to resolve wounds caused by a father. You don't need to live with those. You can make the decision to address them and resolve them. But God's plan is always to reconnect us back to him as our Father and to live a life that he always intended, that God himself would be our real Father. So we have a natural Father, and God's purpose is for him to reveal what fathering is like, what God is like as a father. Our mother reveals a different aspect of what God is like, because men and women carry different aspects of the nature of God, and both are needed. Working together, they show what God is like. So No matter what we have as a father, good, if it's a good father, that's wonderful, we are blessed. If our father's not so good or is absent or was killed or died or left or whatever, there is a wound that Jesus came to heal. He came to heal the brokenhearted, but he came to reveal what God is like as a father. And so one of the things we need is a personal experience with God and a journey with him. And we also need models of what fathering looks like. So to cope with the lack in my life, I found someone who could give me a model of what a father could look like. But ultimately, the one who represents what God is like as a father is Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible says, he says, to everyone who received Jesus Christ. Jesus is the express image of God as a father. Eternal life is knowing God as a father and the one who he sent, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ represents exactly what God is like as a father. So we tend to know him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but he's the express image of the Father. He said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I'm showing you exactly what my Father is like. That is what a son does. A son shows or reveals the nature of their father and works with him in the family business. So Jesus worked with his father in the business of building the family. And his role was to demonstrate what the Father was like and then to die on the cross and remove the power of sin so we could all experience God as our Father again. Amazing story. It's the Bible. And so to everyone who received Jesus, who believed on who he is, the Son of God, who believe what he did for us, God then gives power to become a child of God, the legal right to become a child of God. So we'll give an opportunity at the end. There may be some here and you've been thinking about what Christianity might be, or you've been touched by the love you see in people, or perhaps you're thinking about something spiritual that you haven't thought about before and you're wondering how I can begin a journey with God. Well, it starts with the decision to embrace Jesus Christ. And so we'll give an opportunity to do that later on. So if I have not had a father, or the father has been broken or damaged, or there's been lacks and whatever, or even if I had a good father, how can I relate to God as a father? What can I do to relate to God? How can I be fathered by God? And that's a very, very important question. So I want to just share with you just some practical things. They're not complex. Nothing with God is ever complex. Only people make it complex so they don't understand it well. I think the first thing is to understand the important role of the Holy Spirit in fathering us. So this is what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 9. He said he had fathered his disciples. He functioned to provide for them. He functioned in protecting them. He functioned in providing a model for them. He functioned in talking about what God is like as a father. He showed care for them, and he established their identity. He did many things a father does. And so he showed what it was like. So when he comes to the period just before the cross, he says this, I will not leave you orphans. In the Bible, an orphan is someone with no father. We consider an orphan someone who's got neither parent, but in the Bible, an orphan is a fatherless person. No one to establish identity, no one to counsel them, no one to guide them, no one to protect them, no one to stand up, no one to promote them and have their back in life. And so he said, I will not leave you orphaned. So one of the great promises of God that Jesus made to his disciples is, I will address the issue of you being alone. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you abandoned from a father's love. I'm going to pray and the Holy Spirit will come. The Spirit of God carries and is the Spirit of our Father. He's exactly like God. And he said, I will send you another comforter. In other words, the Holy Spirit will be exactly like me. Except I'm physical and in one place. He will come as a spirit who will enter and join with you. So when we give our life to the Lord, we are joined one spirit with the Father, one spirit with God. So now you can't get any closer than that. That God has become connected to you. You're almost like a hybrid. Well, in a sense you are, because you're now become something you weren't before. That's why the Bible calls it being born again. God comes before we were born into this world, separated from God, our spirit not alive, functioning, but not alive to God. Then when we receive Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as our Savior and trust Him, the Spirit of God is imparted into us, and now we become joined to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're joined to God, you can't get any closer than being joined to someone. You say, "But I don't feel joined." No, well, it's not about feeling. The reality and the truth is, when you give your life to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into you. You become born again, born from above. You are joined to God. You are joined to the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of our Father, and He has a purpose, or He has an assignment in our life. And so in John 16, verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into truth. He won't talk of His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak. Isn't that interesting? So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to reveal God as a Father to us. Now, you can try and figure stuff out with your head. And we've got computers to help us. There's a lot of great things you can learn by study. But God can only be known through personal revelation. You know, there's a big difference knowing about someone and then knowing them personally, you experience them. So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to bring to our attention everything the Father wants to say to us. So if you want to hear the Father, you need to be listening, not to a voice out there, "This is God." It's not going to come like that. You're going to hear God speak from within. And the voice of God from within is a very gentle voice, a very spontaneous voice, very kind voice, very loving voice, very gentle voice. If you don't slow down and listen, you don't hear the voice of God. You just hear all the noise. And many people are carrying a lot of noise around with them. So the Holy Spirit gives us access to the reality of God. And it tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 18, by the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Spirit of God, or to the Father. The Holy Spirit also confirms in us. Now, it confirms in us who we are. Now, a lot of people don't know who they are. They struggle with identity. And when you struggle with identity and you don't know who you are, what are you going to present to people? If you don't even know who you are, what your dreams are, what your passions are, what your identity is, how would you present yourself? You're going to present something you think people will accept. You won't be authentic. But the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, we are the children of God. So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to witness to your spirit, to give you a knowing, not a head knowing, but a heart knowing, I'm a child of God. God is my Father. So I can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. You say, how can I know that? Well, if you're not listening to your heart and spirit, you won't hear anything. You'll be living in your head and in your circumstances. It's called living in the flesh. But if we live in the Spirit, now we want to tune in to what God is talking to us about and what God is speaking to, and God is leading us. So the Holy Spirit's got some assignments and to do. One of His assignment is to establish your identity so you know. Who are you? I'm a child of God. How do you know? There's this scripture and this scripture. Actually, I just know. How do you know? It's because the Holy Spirit has given a witness in your heart. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. I may have my ups and downs, but this is who I am. I am a child of God. I'm born again. I belong to God. God is my Father. I came from Him. I'm returning to Him. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit's job is to do that. How many just know you're a Christian? You know you're a child of God. How many just know? Yeah, okay. If I asked you to explain it, that'd be a bit harder. It's hard to explain something you know. And so to a person who doesn't know God and hadn't had any revelation, that just makes no sense at all. Until you've had the experience, and then you know. How do you know? I know. How do you know? You know? Because the Holy Spirit showed me. How do you know it was Him? I know. I just know. He's assured me I belong, and God is my Father. See? So that's the role of the Holy Spirit. Another role of the Holy Spirit is to not leave you like a little baby, an immature person, but another role of the Holy Spirit, one of His assignments, is to grow you up. Now, of course, that's one of his hardest assignments. Because to grow up means you've got to become responsible, and a lot of people don't want to be responsible. If you got hurt and pain in your life, it doesn't go away magically. The Spirit of God will bring it to the surface for you to deal with sin and hurts and wounds and griefs. And we talked about how to do that yesterday. So it's the role of the Holy Spirit to bring change to you. If you're not changing, how much are you connecting to God? Because he's always got us changing. He always wants us to be fresh and new, growing and learning new things, building better attitudes. So the Holy Spirit's role is to transform and mature us. Another role that he had, we see that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. In Romans 8:14, another role of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and guide you. Now, that doesn't mean he make up all your decisions for you. He just shows you how God would like you, has chosen for you to move. And so he will guide you in relationships, he'll guide you in finance, he will guide you in your marriage, he will guide you as a leader, he will guide you in life. It's not going to tell you everything. This is a relationship. He will gently lead you, and if you will respond, he will help you make great decisions with your life and journey. So we all want to be led by the Holy Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit. So the Spirit leads us. In Luke 4:1, Jesus was led by the Spirit. In other words, he didn't just come up with fancy plans. He was surrendered to his Father and asked his Father for guidance how to do his life. That's a smart way of doing life. It's what dads are for, to give you guidance. We had a group of women in the church, in a small group, and all of them had husbands who were not Christians. And Joy happened to ask them the question, how's it working out? And they were all having some struggles. And she asked this question then, how many of you, your dad disapproved of that relationship? And it was 100% of hands. 100%. No wonder. And so a father had given them counsel, but they'd all rejected the counsel. And now, later on, they're experiencing the consequences of a poor decision. Because once you made the decision, then God will help you actually deal with your part in that and then build a great future with what you've got. So, but the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. He leads us. I'll give you a simple example. I'll give you a practical example. We had some problems with our pool. And what happened, I emptied the pool out and to paint it in March, which is a good month in Hawke's Bay to do it. And I got it all empty, all painted, all good, paid the bill. And then they said, you need to just leave it empty for a few days to let the paint set. And so I did, and the next day it rained. And it didn't stop raining. It just rained and rained and rained and rained. We got a very high water table. The water table came up and popped the pool out of the ground. The whole thing is a mess. And did you think I could find anyone? It took me months to find someone to do it, and then the process drew out. And in the end, it cost more than I expected. And so I'm really coming to a place where now I haven't got the money to pay to complete the pool. And so I was just walking, doing my prayer walk, and while I'm walking doing my prayer walk, I suddenly had a picture of a car come into my mind. I thought, wow, look at that. And I thought, I wonder if the Lord wants me to sell the current car, take money out of it, and buy that one. I never thought about it anymore. Next day I'm walking and suddenly a thought comes into mind. It's that same silver car again. And I thought, well, how about that? I'm pretty sure now the Lord's kind of putting an impression into me. I need to sell up, get some money out, and just this car here. The next day I'm driving up my drive and I look at the neighbor and he's got this nice Jag and I never seen it before. I said, man, where'd you get that one from? He said, well, you can't believe the deal I got. And I said, what was the deal? And she said, well, there was, that museum out there with all of this guy collecting all the cars. He died and they've sold his collection. I went there and I got this. It's low miles, and it was a great price. I said, wow, that's awesome. And secretly I thought, now I'd like to do that. That would be nice if that happened. You know, you think those things. Anyway. Come on, get real. We all think those things. You know, and... So I went to Auckland, we stayed with some friends, and the friend said, I want to show you an advert in Trade Me. And he sent it to me, and I opened it up. Now, you can't believe this. It was the same silver car I saw when I was praying. And it had belonged to a collector. and he had died, and it was now for sale, and it only had 16,000 kilometres on the clock. It was virtually a brand new car. I went down there and we went to Hamilton. We went down from Auckland to Hamilton. I went in, the guy said, "Where's that car?" He said, "Here it is, I'm buying it." And he said, "Well, don't you want to, try it or this and that?" I said, "No, I just want to buy the car." And he couldn't understand. He said, "You want to hear it start?" I said, "Okay, I'll hear it start." Got it in here. He said, "It sounds good. Okay, we'll buy it." And he's... I said, "Is it ready? Where's the papers? I want to sign the papers. So I'm going to pay cash and take it." And he's kind of like thrown completely because no one does that kind of thing. But I had a word from God on it. I didn't need to do all the other stuff. There were too many things lined up. So that doesn't happen all the time. But I have regular things happen because I'm listening for the Holy Spirit, for the Father to lead me. You understand? I can talk about houses we bought and sold. I can talk about all kinds of things, like natural things in life where God has fathered me and helped me. And so that's what it's meant to be like. Not something spooky or way out there. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to guide us and empower us. So the first thing, if we want to be fathered by God, is to actually believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him and start to follow Him. Because Jesus made it very clear, whoever follows me and serves me, him will the Father honor. So the foundation of being fathered by God is to receive Jesus Christ. Then secondly, it's to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and then His role is to change us, empower us, to lead us, and to reveal to us what God is like. Like I remember, I was reading the Bible. It's a good place to learn about God. Now, trouble is, a lot of it's hard to read and complicated, and yeah, it's like, just get an easy version, and if you're stuck, ask ChatGPT to help you understand it. And use everything you've got, you know. Anyway, so I'm reading through there, and I looked at a verse one day, and I thought, I've never seen that verse. I've read through the whole book many times, but I never saw it. I never really saw it. You know, like you see a crab, but you never see the person. So I saw this verse, and I thought, that's amazing. In this verse, God Himself says who He is and what He's like. I thought, why did no one ever preach that ever in all my life? All these years, no one ever preached. There's a verse that says exactly what God is like. And then in the New Testament, Jesus shows what He's like. So the Old Testament tells what He's like. God just says, this is who I am. I think, well, isn't that crazy? Yeah, everyone's got all these opinions about God. Why don't you find out what God said about Himself? Just go to what He said. You want to know? Moses said, show me what you're like. I want to see you. I want to know you. And God said, okay, I'll show you. And he just explained what He's like. How about that? So I looked up every word. ChatGPT. I looked up every word and a dictionary and all that kind of stuff. And then as I started to meditate on those things, I started to understand more of what God is like. So in relating to Him, that's what I'm relating to. It's a person, very kind person, very powerful, very big. The Bible calls Him, in the way He describes Himself, He says, I'm the eternal, unchanging, almighty and all-powerful one. There is nothing I can't provide. Then He goes to describe how accessible He is, and He says, I am compassionate. And He describes everything that you would want a father to be like to you. Strong and powerful and big, and yet very tender and caring and gentle and forgiving and instructing. God is a great father. But just people don't know Him like that. You know, the only religion that describes God as being a father is Christianity. That's one of the things that makes it unique, is that God to us is our Father. And we can come, and Jesus said when He taught us to pray, this is how you pray, our Father, who's living in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of heaven, far above and beyond everything, but incredibly accessible, we want to honor who You are. And so He in prayer, Jesus is teaching us that you honor your Father, you honor God. You come, and that's why we start with praise and worship. It's not just singing. If it's all that, you're singing, you missed it to get altogether. It's actually preparing an atmosphere to honor a great king. Eh? So when you forget that, then you don't know what you're doing. You're just singing songs. Don't like it. I'm sitting down. it's like we've missed it completely, haven't we? But if you understand you're coming to engage with God, then you're ready to write down what he talks to you about, and you're ready to experience him. You're ready to bring the needs you have to him. So to be fathered by God, first step is to respond to Christ, recognize he is the representative of the Father. There is no way to the Father but by him, and to receive him personally as the one who has died to save you, and begin to follow him. The second is to recognize the role of the Holy Spirit given to establish you, lead you, teach you, guide you, empower you, reveal the Father to you. Right? And then what else can we do? Well, I think a third thing is you need to believe that God your Father sees you. One of the big struggles we have is we feel very alone in life, that nobody really sees me. And looking around some of you, I know that's the wrestle you have, is that you don't believe anyone really sees you. And most people are so preoccupied with themselves, and it's very easy if you're in a family to be overlooked and to think that actually no one really sees me or knows me. And one of the things about God, one of his names, and I didn't even get into the names of God, I just showed one verse. But one of the things about God, got many ways his name is demonstrated to us. The Lord our healer, the Lord of armies. There's many ways the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, many ways he's shown. But here's one of his names. He's in Genesis 16:13. And Hagar, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" And that's something, that God sees you. So when you're alone and think no one understands, and you're distressed and you're troubled and you're pressured and you feel overwhelmed with life and you think you're on your own, you are not on your own. The Lord sees you. The Lord sees you. And he doesn't just see you and think, "Ooh, yeah. What are they up to now?" You know, it's like, it's not like that. That's religious concepts of God, you know. And you see, you'll find that religious concepts of God will interrupt you enjoying God. So like, for example, when Adam and Eve sinned, immediately they felt ashamed. Their identity was attacked. And so they felt ashamed. They covered themselves with fig leaves. They hid what distinguished who they are. Then they went and hid in the trees, and they hid in busyness to avoid God when he came. And so God comes. God just asks three questions. Now, depending on your concept of God, it'll affect how you see the questions. And I looked at it, and the Lord showed me what he was saying. And this is what he said: "Adam, where are you?" Now, it's not like God is saying, "I lost him. He must be hiding somewhere. Let's send some angels out and get him." It's not like God doesn't know where he is. He's the Lord who sees us. Adam and Eve are hiding in the trees like that. What, you don't think God sees you? You don't think God sees you? Well, you ran away. I remember one guy in our church, and he ran away. He ran away down the south, Stewart Island, to get away from God. And he got a pack on his back, and he's going out into the bush, and he's out in the bush, and there's this Jeep comes down, and there's a guy leans out and says, "Hey, mate, do you know Jesus?" He fell over. Oh, man, oh, man. How far do I have to go to get away, you know? You can't get away. God sees you. Maybe no one else sees you, but he sees you. And you may stand up and dress up and spout out and look good, but in behind your life, you're broken. He sees that. He really does see you. Interesting, demons see you too. They see exactly who you are. They know who you are. You know what you're doing. So in 2 Corinthians 6:18, God says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." So God says, that's what he wants to be. I want to be your father. I want to father you. But you've got to let him father you. And so he sees you, but you've got to make responses if you want to relate to God as your father. See? And a lot of people say, well, I don't feel seen and I don't feel heard. No one listens. And I'm carrying all this pain. Well, why don't you talk to your father? Why don't you talk to him about it? I never thought of doing that. Well, he's there to sit down and have time with you and listen. Got all the time in the world. He listened to you. And so another aspect of having God father you is to confront and face the pain you may have experienced with a natural father because of what he did to you or because he was absent and didn't connect with you and you felt that lack of connection, lack of love, or my feelings don't count. You've actually lived a very lonely life because of no deep relationship with a father. And so we carry pain. We talked about that yesterday, and you can look at some of the videos on that, learn how to deal with that. But the key thing about resolving pain is that pain is attached to the memories we have. And then also we react to that by becoming angry or bitter or building walls in our heart of unforgiveness or building barriers never to trust. And those wounds stop us connecting to God. And so part of our journey with our Father in heaven is to remove the wrong ideas and the damage that's been caused in our journey and letting him heal us. And God can only heal what you bring to him, and you have to own the whole issue. You have to own the grief. See, if someone hurt you, you're the one who's hurt. You have to take ownership of doing all it takes for this to be healed and for your life to be repaired and reestablished again. You say, well, that's not fair. They did it. They owe me. See, that's what unforgiveness looks like. You're waiting for them to come through. They may never come through. Why don't you just own, my journey has been difficult, but I take responsibility to do all I can and get what help I need to overcome it. Making sense? And so churches need to have a ministry of healing and deliverance because the problems are quite deep and they're spiritual, many of them, and they can't be resolved just by counsel. So if problems have a spiritual root, they need a spiritual solution. And so many of the problems we have are deep-seated sin and bitterness and hatred and anger, and we have to actually repent of that, bring that to the cross and release forgiveness and start to do what God says to bless and honor. And so in your journey, if you want to be fathered by God, don't project onto him the wrong beliefs you have that were formed growing up. So if your father was an angry, cold person, when you try to relate to God as a father, the only image you have is that of a cold, harsh person. You'll see God that way. You can't be intimate with someone who's cold and angry. It's too frightening. And so to relate to God, if there are barriers, I need to be willing to let the Holy Spirit show them, this is a block, this is a hindrance, and I'm willing to grieve the loss, be honest, grieve the loss, and do my part, repent in my part. Here's another thing you could do. If you want to build relationship with God as a Father, when you come and come into him, you come in through prayer, we come in and honor him. Because the Bible says, it's a principle, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, Ephesians 6:2, that life may go well with you and it may live long. So my experience in counseling is that when people have problems, life is not going well. So I always ask, how did you get on back here? And 95% of all the people that come to me for help, their problems originated with an unresolved conflict with a father or mother. In other words, they violated the principle of honor. So a father, the word father means a source, one who originates, and he's the originator of our identity and our life and our destiny. So when we come to God, whenever you have a source, you always honor your source. So that's why God says, honor your parents, you've come from them. And well, they weren't so good. Well, that doesn't matter where they weren't so good. God just says, for honor them. And what about all the bad stuff? We'll just resolve it by forgiving and blessing them and honor what was good. But just honor them. That's your decision. If you dishonor them, problems will come to you. And so one of the key aspects is whatever you honor is drawn into your life. Whatever you dishonor moves away from you. So in relationships, if you honor people in your relationships, treat them with value and respect, then they're attracted and they open up and you can receive from them. If you dishonor them, you can't receive from them. So, for example, Jesus went to his hometown. They all said, he's just a carpenter. What the heck? We saw him grow up with us. Who is this guy? And so they disrespected him and they dishonored him and they could receive nothing from him. So he came to help and they couldn't receive it. And so I've learned, honor people in my life who God sent to be a blessing to me. Honor them with words, honor them with gifts, honor them with time, honor them with respect. But honor them because that's how you receive. So when you come to God, then if we've dishonored our parents, then we come with a bad attitude to God. So we come to God, we honor him. So you honor him, you give him your attention, you give him gratitude. One of the best ways you can honor people is just thanking them. So you can do it even in a checkout. You know, I see all the people and they're working frantically trying to do their stuff. And most of the people just a bit harsh to them. But if you come up and you are kind to them and honor them and value them, they just change altogether. Look at a big box instead of you carrying it all like this. They'll do everything to help you. It's like honor works in life because it's a kingdom principle. So when we come to the Father, we come and you don't come with your shopping list. Everyone hates it. Imagine meeting someone and every time you see them, they tell you something they need from you. You think, oh man, I'm going to get out of here. I see them coming, you know. But with God, when you come to God, you want to come with honor, first of all. And the way honor is expressed is through gratitude, thanking him, acknowledging what he has done and given. Because when you have a grateful heart, you see the good things in life, your heart rejoices. When you're bitter in heart, you only see what's wrong and lacking. Honor creates an atmosphere within which the Spirit of God talks to you and speaks to you and helps you. So do that. Come into his presence with honor and then share your life with your Father. See, Father, we're meant to come along and talk to Dad. My kids come and they'll say, Dad, need to talk. Don't know what to do about this. Tell me what to do. See, that's how fathers kind of come and sit down, and have a coffee and sit down and have a talk. So your role as a father doesn't cease when the children grow up. Your role as a father should continue, now not telling them what to do, but helping as a mentor and a coach for them to succeed in life. And so the Holy Spirit is a personal coach. You've got to treat him like that, value him. He's sent by the Father to show you how to relate to your Father. And that's the very Roman practice and Greek practice and Hebrew practice that when a child grew up to about 12, they were given to a tutor, and the tutor then trained them to learn what the Father did and his values and how he ran his business. And then there came a day when they were presented to the Father as being ready to partner with him in running the business. That's what the Holy Spirit's your tutor. He's your coach. He's your mentor. You've got to listen to him and ask him questions. And it's the good questions you ask. If you ask the wrong questions, you get hopeless. You get no answers. Why? Why is this happening to me? That won't get an answer. Got to ask better questions than that. You know, what are you trying to teach me through this situation? What things are you bringing to my attention that I haven't seen? What part of this am I responsible for? It's like anyone who's used ChatGPT, you realize you've got to ask the right questions. Dumb questions, you get very little answers. If you ask the right ones, man, it'll really flood you with stuff. So it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It must have got the idea from him. Okay then, so share your life. In 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So a care is something that causes you a lot of anxiety and stress. How many got anxieties and stress? Well, usually what we do is we worry about it, stress at it, and it all leaks out and overflows to the people around us. Stay away, he's uptight today. Yeah. But you see, the Bible tells us when you're anxious, there is a strategy to deal with anxiety, which is rooted in deep fear, and that's to come to the one who loves you and push your cares upon him. Tell him you're worried. Talk to him. Tell him this is disturbing, this is worrying, I don't know what to do, help me, I release this to you. Cast your cares on him, he cares for you. He cares that this is affecting you like that, he wants to help you, but he won't force his help. So you talk. I found journaling or writing the things that trouble me is a big help, and then I ask the Lord to speak to me. So you need to do those things. Cast your cares on him and thank him. Thank him for what you have. Thank him for what he's done for you, and push the cares away so they don't dominate your life. Okay, how about that? Now, we need to listen to his voice. We need to listen to hear our God speak to us. And a relationship is always two-way. So if you do all the talking, it's not a relationship. Some people, that's all they do. Blah, 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 away they go. What about, hey, wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to be a relationship. So in a relationship, you should be listening. And so the way we hear God speak, there's many ways we hear, but he speaks spirit to spirit. So you won't hear him as a big voice out there. This is God. Now, God is not, it's not like he's there. He's joined to you spirit to spirit. So when you hear God speak, it'll be a very gentle voice, a spontaneous flow to your spirit. Quite gentle. So if you don't slow down and quiet yourself, you won't hear him. So we honor him, we have praise and worship, we release our cares to him. If anyone's hurt us, we let it go. This is all in the Lord's Prayer. I've just changed the way I presented it a little bit. That's what I'm saying. So now you need to listen for his voice. So you spend some time, you maybe read the Word of God. I found journaling also helps. So I read, when I'm reading the Word of God, I'm reading for God to highlight something and quicken it so my spirit feels God speaking to me through that. And I've had so many situations just like that where God spoke to me through the Bible verse, taking it out of context but speaking to my heart. I'm the Lord who sees you. Oh, he sees me. I was feeling unseen and alone. So God can take a scripture, the Holy Spirit, and suddenly it becomes personal for you like God himself was talking to you. I remember before we went to Hastings, we were really challenged. To tell the truth, I went up to Hastings. There's a broken down church, sad people, debts and bankruptcy pending. And I said as I drove home crying, Lord, I don't want to go there. Please don't take me there. Don't take me there. And I went home anyway. I said, I hope they all forget they even proposed the idea to me. And I'm down in Dannevirke. They'll forget me down here. No one sees anything down here. And then sure enough, about 2 months later, someone rang me. Said, we want to know whether you will come and pastor this church. Now, I've got everything humming at home. We've got a great church. You've got a school being developed now. I've got the buildings, whatever. And I don't want to leave. And so I said, just give me a few days. And so Joe and I went away. And it took about a day and a half to let go what I would want or what we would want and just come to a place where, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so it took a little bit of time to do that because most of the time we got what we want. So you tell God what you want and tell him to bless it. Now, it's never going to work that way, as you've noticed. If you look at your track record with that, it doesn't work. You're not going to tell him what to do. You need to ask him for his counsel. People come to me as a pastor. They say, oh, pastor, I've decided to do this. Would you pray for it? What would you think? What do you think? I said, oh, it doesn't matter what I think. You've already decided. So I'm not going to tell you what I think because you never included me in the decision. You just want me to bless what you're saying. But you've decided. You left me out of it. You didn't consult me. So I'm not going to tell you anything. You've made the decision. Now live with it. People don't like that. I know they don't like that. You're supposed to be nice. Well, I am. I'm being godly to you. We try to do the same thing to God. It doesn't work, you know, because straight away you know they're manipulating you. So you can't manipulate God. So if you come to him and you've got your own ideas fixed, you're not going to hear a word. You'll just hear what you think. And you'll do what you think, and then it didn't work out. Why, God? Why didn't it work? It's like, we've got to build a relationship which is authentic. So to hear from God, there does need to be a positioning of honor to him and then surrender to him and then quieting yourself to listen. It's not rocket science. And you hear it still. Anyway, this is what I said. I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I am willing to yield everything we have and go there to Hastings. And I'm willing to surrender. We have made that agreement now that we will surrender if you direct us. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, you can hardly believe this. I picked up my Bible to read and about where I was up to in the general reading. And I read two verses. And the next verse was Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? The very words I just prayed. And I thought, no, I've just prayed that. Dare I look at the next line? The next line, arise, go into the city, and I will tell you what you need to do. I think, no, oh, it can't be that easy. But it was. You understand, God wants to speak to us. Now, if I'd had my way, I'd have had a little vision, a little plan, and be stuck in a little town with a little impact. But God's way was much bigger than mine. Mine was limited by the desire for security. His was because of faith, much bigger. And so now, as a result of what we've done, we've impacted a city, a region, and the influence is gone. We have probably touched millions of people now, which I could never have done. Isn't it amazing? Listen to God. Listen to your Father speak. Here's why you need to listen. Because before you were born, God designed a purpose for your life. And so the only one can tell you that's Him. His plan is always bigger than ours. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My plans are bigger than your plans. So if you connect with God, He will always want you to be bigger. He will always want you to give more than you want to give. It's true. Because He's bigger than you. And we could hold back in. No, you can't do that. So you get any idea? So learn to hear His voice. And He will speak to your heart. So it's not hard. You spend time in worship. You just relax and free your spirit up. You focus your attention upon Him. And then as you wait quietly, it's a gentle impression or a voice or a picture. It's very small and it's like a seed. It's quite short. I always write it down. So even in the meeting today, I just had some thoughts come. So I wrote them down, God thoughts. See, they're seed ideas. So when God gives you something or speaks to you, He didn't tell you everything. He'll give you just a seed. And everything in the kingdom is done by seed, something very small. If you take that and act on it, then lots of great things happen. And so we need to do that. Okay, you get an idea? And then the last thing is to practice receiving comfort from God and encouragement from God. I found that often we try to earn love because we're programmed that way. If I just do enough, I'll be respected or honored or loved. And so we live our life that way. But Jesus said, I don't seek the honor that comes from men. Seek the honor that comes from God alone. In other words, don't look for people to make a fuss of you. Look to God to affirm you and validate you. And so we can do that. We can spend time. You become conscious of God's presence when you slow down and you begin to worship and fix your mind on Him. And God wants to comfort you. And in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies or compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our pressures and distresses, for the reason that we in future can comfort others going through that kind of distress. So when you're in distress, you need to turn to your Father, not just turn to media or alcohol or drugs or something like that. You need to turn to one who wants to comfort you. Now, the word comfort in the Bible, this is so fatherly. It doesn't mean to just kind of feel sorry for you. In the Bible, the word comfort means to come alongside someone and strengthen them so they can fulfill their journey. Isn't that a father's job, eh? Come alongside your sons. Hey, you're not alone. I'm here with you. I got your back. You can do this. And God wants to talk to you that way. He wants to help you that way. But you've got to position yourself to receive. And so we need to listen. So what I do is journaling. And I will just spend time worshiping God. Then I'll sit down and write. And I'll journal and write a prayer. My Father. My prayer. My Father's response. And then I begin the prayer, Father, I love you. Father, I'm just going through this and this and this. I'm so grateful to what you've done, but Lord, I just need to bring you this. And that enables you to express what you're struggling with and bring it out. Very healthy. And then I just worship for a little and wait. My Father's response. And I wait and until I hear a thought flow come, my son, I love you. Now, it's like the Holy Spirit starts to talk to me that way. The moment I hear him say, "My son, I love you," such a right. And as I write the first seed thought, then he begins to give me more and more and more and more. Sometimes very specific directions, very guidance, some correction, all kinds. I've learnt to listen and let the flow come. And so God comforts. I'm with you. I care about you. Sometimes the strongest comfort will come just through a scripture. You're reading and then a scripture stands out and somehow it speaks to your heart and you feel reassured. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But if you've never developed the lifestyle of an authentic relationship with God, you will miss what it's all about. I'm a child of my God. I'm called to be a builder with my Father, to know Him and relate Him, to represent Him, and He's going to look after me, and He got my back and everything. So I don't have to be stressed about everything. But it took me a long time to come into that walk because I didn't know how. I didn't have anyone to teach me. And then let God speak and affirm you, you know. You don't try to pump people out to get validation. God as a father validates His children. He talks to them. So when you read, look, follow Jesus, and He gets baptized, and it says these things. It said the heavens opened, meaning He had full access to God. It was an unrestrained access. So my kids just give me a call. Dad, where are you? Dad, what's up? And they'll talk. So we have access to God all the time. The second thing that happened was the Spirit of God came on him. This is the executor of the Father's estate. He provides for everything. He helps us, leads us, guides us, tutors us. And then the next thing, the Father himself spoke and said, "You are my son." That's validation. Dad's supposed to do that, my son, my daughter. And I love you. He said, "You're my beloved, my highly loved son." So our Father wants you to know you're loved. And I can tell you that, and other preachers can tell you, but it's much better if when you're alone with Him, you hear Him say, "I love you. You're very precious to me. I know the details of your life." He said, "You are my beloved son. I love you. In you I'm well pleased." In other words, He validates him publicly. So dads are meant to do that. So rather than worry about people validating you, making a fuss, it's all temporary. I just want my Heavenly Father to do it. And if He tells me it's okay, it's okay. Other people, they got their own ideas. Don't worry about that so much anymore. I did years ago, but not now. As I've walked with God and deepened, then now I'm looking for His approval, His validation. I'll play for the audience of one. Everything is the audience of one who sees all. What you did and why you did it and what you did in secret. Okay, and then the last one, we need to serve. We need to serve. We need to serve God. And Jesus said in John 12:26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." So what Jesus is saying is that He is the pattern son. So when you follow Jesus, you're following an older brother. See, older brothers are meant to be the example for the family. That's why they feel the pressure. They're meant to model what the best-looking son looks like, best-behaving son. See, so many times they don't, but however, that's another thing. But Jesus is our elder brother, so He said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." In other words, let me lead you and show you how to do life. And anyone who serves me, Jesus builds His church, Jesus builds people, Jesus communicates the gospel to people, Jesus empowers people. If any man serves me, serving Jesus means you'll serve people. But you're led by Him and who to and what to and how to. If any man serves me, him will my Father honor. Isn't that an amazing thing? God wants to put value and honor on you in life and then throughout eternity. But to do that, the key is that we follow Jesus and serve Jesus. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes right now? Father, we just thank You. Father, I just so love You. Lord, it was just so touching in that clip to see a father run to a child who's struggling, put his arm around him, and help him finish his journey. No one remembered who won the race. They all remembered the father helping the son. Father, that's how you want to help us. And so, Lord, I just thank you for every person here. I pray that what I've shared today will impact their life. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch people about their need to respond to you now. If you're sitting here today and you're not yet a Christian, but you felt drawn to this meeting, or someone has talked to you, or you felt you've been invited to come, but you've never made a personal decision that you would recognize and respond to Jesus Christ and what he did. God sent his only beloved son. He so loved the world, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that our relationship could be restored. Religion teaches people you need to work and then maybe God will approve of you. But Christianity is quite different. Christianity, Jesus did all the work for me to be forgiven and totally acceptable. What Christianity requires is a faith that's authentic. To everyone who received him, he gave, and believed in him, he gave the power to become a child of God. I'd like to extend an invitation today to any person here who would like to become a child of God, to begin a journey experiencing God as your Father, your source, your new center of your life. You're ready to receive Jesus Christ, to respond to him and begin to follow him. If you're ready to do that today, why don't you raise your hand right now? I want to give my life to Christ. God bless. I see that hand. Anyone else here today? Any other people today? God bless them. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Just let me see your hand. See the hand here. Anyone else? Over here too. Someone else? There's a number of people, I believe, today. You're right at that point. What's stopping you? Is it what people think? How are you going with that? You can never, never keep people happy. They change like the wind. But if I connect with God, then my life will change forever. Is there anyone else here? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand right now. Maybe you're struggling. I can see your hand there, son. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't hold back. Make that decision now. Decision to receive Jesus. Why don't we all just stand? And I'm going to give an invitation now to those who raise their hand just to come to the front so I can pray with you. Just make your way to the front, stand here, and what I want to do is pray with you and lead you to receive Jesus. It'll take about 2 minutes, then you can go back to your seat again. So let's just stand, and there's a couple of people put their hands up. Those people put their hands up, and even if you didn't put your hand up, you could come. Why don't you make your way to the front right now? Come, 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 come. That's right, just come. And if you brought a friend who doesn't know Jesus, why don't you bring them up too? God bless. God bless. God bless you, son. Just stand here and face me. That's right. And you look after him. That's right. There was someone else, who's a girl, I think, put a hand up. Someone else here to receive Jesus? Just come. Come right now. Come right now. That's right. Please come. And if your friends are with you, they can come up too. If you brought someone with you or someone brought you, they can come up too. Hey, God bless. God bless. Good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Just make that decision to come now. Come. Come. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You are loved by God. This is a great chance to come to know him. Would you like to receive Jesus today? Would you like to receive him? Why don't you come? Just come now. Come quickly. Just come now. Church, this is really exciting. We've got some people here. I think there's one more, too, that put their hand up. Just someone over here, I think, put their hand up. Would you like to come? Just come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray together. Okay, just close your eyes now. All relationships begin with prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. When we come to him and we believe in our heart what Jesus did and declare it with our mouth, it causes a response, and God touches us. I want to just lead you all in a prayer. Perhaps the whole church could pray this prayer. Jesus, I open my heart to you. I believe you died on the cross for all of my sins. And you rose again from the dead after 3 days. Today, Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your Spirit into my heart. And I give you my life today. I choose to follow you. And I thank you today. I am a child of God. I belong to the family of God. God is my Father. And I am his child. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. I just want to pray for each of you. Lord, just touch. Touch right now. I release the blessing of God over your life. I release the peace of God into your heart. I take dominion over all fear and anxiety, fear of failing, the fear of not being good enough. I break it now. I take authority over the grief that you've carried for so long, the struggle of feeling never good enough. I break it today. I release the love of God into your heart. Touch him, Lord, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray you will bless her. In Jesus' name. I break now the hold of rejection. I break the lie that I'm not good enough. I release the love and presence of God into your heart. Touch her right now. Father, I thank you for this young man. Lord, only you know the struggles he's had. Lord, touch him today. Touch him. Pour your love into his heart. The Lord wants you to know that you are different, but you are loved. God loves you deeply. He sees your sensitivity. He sees your creativity. He sees who you are. He sees what you've been through. He wants you to know he loves you. Father, touch him right now. Release your presence and power in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, God bless. Welcome to God's family. Let's give him a big clap, shall we? Amen. God bless. God bless you. God bless. Okay, we'll flow into a song together. Perhaps there's some people with like prayer, like the touch of God on your life. You'd like to come forward for prayer, perhaps prayer for healing or prayer for freedom from something. Or perhaps there's something in the message touched you and you say, I feel God is calling to me. I want to respond to him. So if that's you, why don't you come forward as we just pray now and we sing right now. God bless. Thank you for hosting us here. This has been so good. I don't know what happened to all my notes. I was all over the place. I just followed the flow of the Spirit today. It was much better. I need to get a copy of the message myself. Because as I'm speaking, I'm hearing. And I'm saying what I'm hearing. And then I think, man, why can't I write stuff like that, you know? God bless. Come. Let's just come to the front now today. Come on, my wife, my beautiful wife. Come and pray for me.